verse 10. But the God of all grace, who have called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. Saints, we just want you to consider this thought as we trust the Lord for time here in his word. Grace for every place. Grace for every place. Most of us know this in society right now that the those who are trying to suit the needs of consumers are taking pains to try to make sure that they stay ahead of the curve. What I mean by that is this, that no longer can they sit back and think that their product is able to stay at the top. But they know they had to do something more because people became more particular about their needs. So what a lot of them began to do is formulate or package something that would find a way to suit whatever it is that you need. Are you with me here? Some of them call them bundles, amen. Geico and Verizon, ain't that right? Sometimes you pay less for the bundle than you do for the product, ain't that right? You buy two, but then you buy the bundle, you get buy one and get two free. Well, that's because of consumerism, you know? And sometimes you have a situation where of a supply and demand. And so if the supply, again, and the demand situation is not equitable, then you pay more money. Ain't that right? And sometimes they hold back things. Amen. On the supply, and when the demand comes in, they're able to fluctuate the cost. Amen. Yeah. I didn't go to economics school. I just know when I'm paying more money. Amen. And so, consequently, there is this ongoing competitive thing, and usually when it comes to something like that in the business world, when there's competition, it always is good for us. Amen. Because when I say us, I mean, even though they're still manipulating and trying to manipulate the system, when it gets to the point when someone has something better than theirs, see, then it causes them to have to revisit how much they're charging you. If one thing going to cause them to bring the price down is when they lose money. Amen. But I'm here to tell you today that there's some things that no matter how systematic and slick they get, and no matter how efficient the world seems to try to make themselves be, no matter how and what way and what facet, again, those who seek to supply the needs of, excuse the expression, human being, they'll never ever be getting to the point where they can supply everything that is needed. Are you with me here? The pace of society and culture is too fast. It's too vast. And again, the times in which by the time you plug a hole in something and provide some sort of substance to supply or to seek or to take care of it, something else comes up. Things are moving too fast. Amen. And so you if you're not careful, you discover, and one day you wake up and find out that, and maybe sometime in anxiety, that I'm going to get to the place or the point, and no matter where I go, how much I spend, I'm still going to be spinning my wheels. It'll always be a time when what's best for me and what I need, and this is also a little a situation here. I don't always know what I need. I can know how I feel, but that doesn't know I know what I need. Y'all hear me? Feelings are fickle. Emotions are not completely stable all the time. I have some idea about what it is that's going on with me, but I don't know how to fix it. Amen. And the truth of the matter is, no one 100% knows either. There is no diagnostic that can fix the soul. Amen. There's nothing that man has invented that can truly find out what your deepest desire and concern is. And I will dare say, if in fact they could and they can't do anything about it. Because there's something about us immaterially that they can't do anything about. They have the ability to help us in terms of medicine and things. Yes, they do. And God has blessed us. Yes, amen. God has given us the ability to do things they weren't able to do before. But at the end of the day, we still have to make ourselves back to Him. God is able. Peter wants us to understand in this letter that he wrote, and we were here a little while ago, and Peter was discussing and sharing with these believers here who had scattered abroad, and he was sharing with them as they were being confronted with, again, I'll use this triad of things that confront the believer. I mean, there's a whole lot of things, but it's the world, the flesh, and the devil. Are you with me here? That's amen. That's old school, amen. That means that most of us has heard one time or another. But the thing is that do you recognize your enemy? Amen. The world, we're not talking about the material world. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about ecology and environment, so to speak. Well, we mean the world. We're speaking about that system, that valueless system that is opposed to who God is and what God represents and even His people. The world is that entity that's out there that chooses to think that they can make it without God. The secularism and the humanism, those isms that think that God is just somebody out there, back behind there. And the only reason why a lot of people go to God, they use Him as a crutch. That's the world for you. And then you have the flesh, amen. And we're all born in sin. Flesh is not just your physical body, but no, when Paul talks about the flesh in the Bible means to speak about it, let's talk about that innate thing that all of us have. That's the carnal desires that are in us, the result of Adam falling into sin and passing it down to all of us. Because the Bible does say all have sinned. Doesn't matter what you look like on the outside, it's what's going on the inside. Sin has taken residence in all of our souls. Ain't that right? So consequently, it's also with something we battle with. Even though we come to Jesus, even though we're saved, we still have to deal with sin in this present life. And then it's the last one, our adversary, the devil. Amen. And he's for real. Amen. This ain't no spooky stuff. Amen. No. This is for real. This is a real spiritual entity in the world. And again, he's called the prince of the power of the air. And it behooves you to know, to understand that this is something that really exists. Are you with me here? Because Paul, he's going to say in Ephesians chapter 6, amen, he tells us to stand, amen, because we now battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high and heavenly places. That's a real thing out there. Because the truth of the matter is, our greatest opposition comes from not what you see or who you see, but what and who you don't see. So consequently, even though we're saved and we do, and we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. However, spiritually, when we stay in the scriptures, God gives us a measure of discernment. Amen. Discernment means to be able to see that which is not necessarily visible, but He gives some conception of what it is that you're dealing with. And you need to stay in the scriptures to recognize it so the Holy Ghost can use it as an instrument to keep you on point. Peter writing this letter, speaking to these believers, and because they were going through, we'll use that expression, but they were suffering. Amen. Suffering is a painful thing. They were suffering because, and this is not just physically, but they were suffering because of who they are. Amen. They were suffering because of who. There's a uniqueness when it comes. There are throughout the world different religious things that where people are having being persecuted, but we have a unique kind of situation with us because our suffering is a result of who we believe in. Our suffering comes because of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We are picked out because of who we have been bought by, and His name is Jesus. Y'all don't hear me. You'll find out if you already not discovered it. Amen. That we have been put aside and set aside to believe in Christ. But again, Paul says again, not only were we called to believe in him, but also to suffer for his name's sake. Amen. And then sometimes Christians, they just want only a part of that. And Christ, you don't get to understand that. The Lord Jesus said it like this too. He wants you to understand that you are almost set up for this. Because he said, first of all, he said, I did not come to the world to condemn the world, but the world through him, John said, might be saved. But then Christ, when calling and talking about following him, he said, not I didn't come bring peace, but a sword. And when he said a sword, he did not just mean violence and wars per se. He meant that as a result of you giving your life and following Christ and being committed to him, I'm going to cause points of alienation and separation when it comes to those who put their trust in me. Amen. Because there are those who don't like me. They don't love me. They hate me. And those who do love me and choose to follow me, I'll cause a division among you. It's not he's just trying to break families up or break homes. It's just that Jesus Christ comes first. Amen. When you come under discipleship and follow Christ, you will have to give up certain things and give over certain things and get away from certain things and even certain people for Jesus' sake. And he knows that. He wants you to know that in advance. So even though when Christ died, it cost him everything. It cost us nothing. But when you follow Jesus, it'll cost you something.